I bring you good news of great joy. Can you imagine what it was like? It's a dark night. The shepherds are out in the field and they're all alone. And it says the angels appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And in the King James Version, Linus says, and they were sore afraid. Christmas comes in the angelic announcement that Jesus Christ is Lord. Imagine the story of Christmas, the angels appearing before Mary, before Joseph, before Zechariah, as we learned, before the shepherds in the field. Always, 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 when the Lord introduces angels into the picture, something amazing is about to happen. Something truly, truly wonderful comes when the Lord brings one of His messengers. Today we're going to look at the beautiful message of the birth of Christ. I sat early one Christmas morning years ago and I was thinking about this passage, watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special and seeing how beautifully Linus read this passage from the Gospel of Luke. I thought about the angels appearing and all of the wonderful things that are happening. But there was something that struck me about it as I began to think about all of the angels that we read about in Scriptures. From the angels that appeared at Sodom and Gomorrah that were with Abraham there. I think about the angel that appeared at the ford of the Jabbok River when he met with Jacob and wrestled. Jacob wrestling with an angel of God. I think of in the book of Psalms where it says that men ate the food of angels. I think about the angels that helped Jesus in the wilderness after he was alone. And I began to think of these appearances that we've talked about. The appearances to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds keeping watch over their flock. Folks, the stage has been set. We have looked on our Wednesday night class at the period of silence. 400 years. There had been no communication from God. Israel thought that they were alone. They may have even thought that their God, their Adonai, their Eloheinu, their Yahweh, had forgotten them. But the stage has been set. The silence is about to be broken. And the Lord, as He does so beautifully, has prepared to break the silence in a dramatic way, in a way that only God can break the silence. Angels are popping out of the woodwork, declaring the glory of the Lord. The angel comes before Zacharias, and he says, "Do not be afraid." The angel comes there before Mary and says, "Do not be afraid." He goes to Joseph then, and he says, "Do not be afraid." He looks at the shepherds, and we see that scene, and he says, "Do not be afraid." Well, what do angels look like that people have to worry about being fearful? I mean, we see the pictures that Hollywood gives us. Our world today of Charlie's Angels? Those, okay. Angels in the outfield. Okay, that's a good one. Touched by an angel. Or at this time of year, my favorite angel, Clarence. And It's a Wonderful Life. Most of the images of the angels come from Hollywood. Beautiful, with fluttering wings. Or even looking like an ordinary person like you or I. But the Bible tells us unequivocally that when angels come before people, something amazing is going to happen. I don't know what the Archangel Gabriel looked like. I look forward to that. But I think about one of our Hallmark Christmas movies that has come out this last couple of years, Debbie McComber and her series about Mrs. Miracle. She has been given the assignment to help a single father and his two children. And they are preparing to be in the Christmas pageant at school, and they got the unfortunate assignment in their minds of being the angels. And they go to Mrs. Miracle and they says, "Well, I don't want to be an angel. That's a sissy girly thing." Well, and she responds back and she says, "Well, I wish you would have told me that before I made the swords." The swords? We get to have swords? One good word that we find from the Christmas story: nothing is impossible with God. Well, what do the angels announce? The first thing that I see from Scripture that clearly tells us that the angels announce the miracle of Christmas. Luke 1 and verse 26 through 38 tells us about the appearance of this Gabriel. Angels have names. And he wouldn't have been one of the Charlie's Angels. There wouldn't even look like Clarence before his wings, or even after his wings for that matter. These were fierce. To Mary, he announces that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her and will come inside of her and will become a child. And it says, "You shall name the child Jesus," meaning Jehovah is salvation. Mary is troubled, agitated, or stirred up within her soul. The angel enters with words of rejoicing, a message that is found to her. "Blessed are you among women, O favored one." With the good news of Christ's birth, Mary asks the first questions and then accepted the good news in the depths of her soul. And the very response that she comes up with are the words of the song that we just sang. And as Randy put that song together, he has four different verses. Three of those verses praise God for who He is. One of those verses praises God for what He has done for her, for what He has done for us. "My soul glorifies the Lord." I think C.S. Lewis said it best when he says of Christmas, "The whole thing narrows and narrows until at last it comes down to a little point, as small as the point of a spear. A Jewish girl at her prayers." Mary and Joseph, in their simple faith, they accepted the good news of Jesus' birth. No matter the trouble or the pain that was going to come with it, no matter what stigma was going to be attached to it, they accepted it. They demonstrated faith in God's plan. They experienced with this God's peace that only comes from Him. And they heard the very angelic word of affirmation, a word often repeated in the Christmas story that says, "Do not be afraid." Even as God is entering into His creation, even as God is coming in to the very presence of the human, He is making sure that we are at peace with Him. He is making sure that we are at peace. He is coming to save us, but He's worried that we're afraid. You know, think of Christmas. You know, the decorated tree, the lights, the music, the wonderer, childlike feeling of the season, the angelic birth of Christ. And I still think, and Bill can probably tell me the same, it's one of the hardest things to preach about and teach about at Christmas is trying to get adults to enter their childhood. Because it no longer affects our senses. It no longer moves our soul. It no longer moves our lips to praise God. My soul magnifies the Lord, is the blessing of the miracle. And I fear sometimes that we don't consider the real miracle of Christmas. As the angels announced the miracle of Christmas, it is Christ. It is salvation to all mankind. And I can't help but say, rejoice. Rejoice and do not be afraid. But it's not just a miracle. The angels come and they announce the mystery of Christmas. Also in Luke 1, in verse 31 through 33, it describes this mystery of Christ. The drama of Christmas comes if God has pulled back the curtain on the world stage and placed a spotlight with a star on the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Think of the wizard and the curtain being pulled back. When that curtain revealed the smallness of Oz, God wheels back the curtain and he reveals the majesty and the splendor and the glory. Well, what will he be? What will Christ be? Well, I can think of a few things that we can share today. He will be named Jesus, a very reference to the salvation that he will bring. The names that he comes up, Emmanuel, God with us. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought that the great designer, the architect of the amazing universe, the one that we've studied about and we've looked about on our Sunday evening classes, who would have thought that he would have lowered himself to be a baby? Where the Creator becomes the created. It also tells us that Jesus will be great. And we don't see that in his life. We don't see that from the 33 years that he walked on this earth. But I tell you, friends, if you don't see it now, you will. There will come a day. It says that every knee will bow, because there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And the blessed that we have, the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ come because he will be great. He is God. It also tells us that he will possess a kingdom. But this is not going to be a kingdom that we've seen here on earth. This would not be like the Roman kingdom with the grandeur of their golden crowns and the armies and the chariots that will someday end and have ended, as with the Roman Empire and so many others that have come and gone. But this is going to be a kingdom of faith and hope and love that will have no end. And Mary asked the question, how can this be? A simple question from a simple Jewish girl, where the angel responds with good and glorious news. The Holy Spirit will fall upon you. That promise was not just made to Jesus, to Mary here. The promise of the Holy Spirit was not just given to the Mother of God that day, because it was in the child, 33 years later, that he said, I will send to you a comforter. And the very same Spirit that came upon Mary that day, praise God, is in us. But he says, and you will conceive and give birth to a son who will be the very Son of God. I think sometimes that John Updike says it right when he says, our brains are no longer conditioned for reverence and awe. But I tell you, folks, that we must stand in reverence and awe when that angel comes and says, do not be afraid, because something magical is going to happen. something of a miracle is going to happen, and something mysterious is going to happen. To appreciate Christmas, I think we need to humble ourselves in its glory, in its simplicity, and the humility. We must revere Christ and stand in awe in spite of the mystery. The angel's announcement is mysterious. The virgin birth is mysterious. God sending His own Son into the world through a Jewish girl into Galilee. It's mysterious. However, the mystery keeps us occupied and intrigued and drawn all the more into Christ. Who doesn't want to know about the baby Jesus? Who doesn't want to know about God becoming flesh and living amongst us? Do you ever race through Christmas? Lose your sense of wrapping your heart and your mind around the very mystery of Christ? Do you revere Christ as you should? Do you revere Christ as you should? Do you stand in awe? Our God is an awesome God. In His miracle of salvation and in His mystery, but also in His message of hope. The silence has been broken. The Lord is now with us. And coming as Emmanuel, the very beautiful thought of God being with us. But not only is this a miracle, and not only is this a mystery, but the angels state the majesty of Christmas. The not-so-obvious message of Christmas is found in the very conversation that Elizabeth has with Mary, stating nothing is impossible with God. We stand in awe of a great and amazing God. We lose our sense in the miracle and in the mystery of Christmas. And we're bound. We're bound to lose sense in the fact that God can do anything. The Christ of Christmas invites us to a place of faith in Him and watch Him to produce within us a very spirit of hope. And the hope is more than positive thinking. It's more than a good attitude. It's more than a good feeling on a sunny day. It is a hope rooted in Christ's birth, in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection, and in His very life. And that secures our present of salvation, of the cross. And it guarantees our future if we believe in Him. If you don't get anything else today, folks, get this for me. When our present faith and our future grace join hands, Christ carries us today and into tomorrow, and we have hope no matter what comes our way. It is Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter. It is Jesus Christ who is the way and the life. It is Jesus Christ who is the light, who is the bread, who is the very water. It is Christ who is our hope and who is our grace. We experience the majesty and grandeur of Christ as He carries us day by day. And we can respond to life's pain and pressure and struggle and anxiety and fear with the very same spirit that was shared by the angels. Do not be afraid, For nothing is impossible with God. Walt Whitman wrote about America's teeming eccentric whirl. That is, we have too much going on in our lives. We're busy cramming everything from our 10-pound life into a 5-pound paper sack. And in the whirlwind of Christmas, in the exhaustive, hectic pace and everything that goes with it, we need to pause, family. We need to pause. We need to hear the rush of the angel's wings. We need to hear God's message announced afresh. Christ Jesus, the Savior, has come. And nothing is impossible with my God. There's a story of a children's musical told where all the children dressed up in different characters of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels. And in one hushed moment, one of the characters reaches out and exclaims, "Stop! Look! Listen for Christmas." My prayer is that we can slow down this Christmas. Recapture the miracle. Relive the mystery. And stand in awe at the majesty of Christmas. And if we do, we are bound to respond as the very Mother of God did. My soul praises God, my Savior. Won't you pray with me? Father in heaven, we praise you and the greatness of your Spirit and your Holy Son, Father, and we thank you. We thank you that we are honored to be called your children. We thank you right now, Father, as we pause and we reflect everything that's going around us, and we just ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would give us a sense of peace and hope and love this Christmas time. Let us, Father, look to you, look to your Son, the author and perfecter of our faith, the giver of life, and our hope of everlasting life. Father, we're thankful for the majesty and the miracle. We're thankful, Father, for the beauty of the majesty and the mystery that surrounds the birth of your Son. And we ask, Father, that you would give us, each one of us, a spirit of evangelism as we take that into a world that so desperately needs it. We thank you, Father, for our life that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's in his blessed and holy name, our Savior, we pray. Amen. The song that we're about to sing, O come, Emmanuel, asking Jesus Christ to come into us. One of the songs that we sang earlier, O Little Town of Bethlehem, I can't think that a Christmas song could also be an invitation song. But listen to this. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the heavenly angels the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Angels just don't come at the birth of Jesus Christ. Angels come at the birth of every child of God. Because it says, on the day that you put on Christ and that you go down into those watery graves of baptism, that the angels in heaven rejoice. Not just one, but a multitude. Today is the day of salvation. The song tells us tomorrow may be too late. We're not guaranteed that we have another day, another minute, another hour, not another second. How is your Emmanuel? Is God with you? As we sing the song together, think about your life. As we slow down today, as we slow down right now, where is God in your life? Is He a passing Christmas event, or is He the Lord of your life? If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need the prayers of the elders, if you have a private issue, please see one of our elders. They're all three here today, and they would love to help you. They would love to pray over you. But if today is the day that you want Jesus Christ to be born in you, then I say, praise God, because today is the day we can make that happen. The baptistry is ready. The clothes are here. It is warm. And Christ begs, come. Oh, come, Emmanuel, as we sing for Him to come, won't you come to Him?